It is my privilege to introduce today and to welcome to our pulpit Joe Bradshaw, who is Mary Bradshaw's nephew, and he is the pastor of the Phelps Chapel United Methodist Church. We won't hold that against you. Located in Corbin, Kentucky, and he is here with his family. If you'd like, I'll let you introduce them, and he's come to bring the word to us. So, Joe, thank you and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just so good to see each and every one of you. Don't hold that against me on the Methodist part there, Scott. I will just tell you right up front, when it comes to church, I told someone last night, we were talking about it, I said, I'm kind of a junkyard dog. I was born and raised Pentecostal. I went to a Southern Baptist for a while because it was close to where I lived. Then I wound up marrying a Methodist. So I don't know what you call me. But I'm a child of God. That's all I can say. But it's good to be here this morning. I'm so excited to be able to come back. I'm glad to be in Illinois this time on a little bit more happy occasions than the last time I was able to come to service here. As I'd lost my aunt, and I was up for her funeral, and it's good to have my cousin Wayne here this morning, and then it was about a week and a half later I came back from my first cousin's wedding. She had passed away, and so to be able to come up and have a wedding this weekend and then come here to church, I tell you, everything's four before this morning. As Dad says, I'm as happy as a coon in a field of corn, so I'm good. I'm sure you can tell by listening to me, I'm not from here. A little bit south of here, but I just want to say greetings from Phelps Chapel Church this morning. Our folks, I'm just have the privilege of pastoring some wonderful folks, and they send their greetings and their Christian love to you, and again from the great state of Kentucky, the people with the basketball team that went 38-0 and lost in the Final Four. Go figure. I knew I had made it when Aunt Mary sent me a copy of the church letter, and I never make the front page of anything that's usually positive, but I appreciate that very, very much. This morning I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, too. Let me say I'm glad to have a lot of my pressures on this morning. I got a lot of kinfolk in the audience, but I appreciate all my cousins and many that skipped their own churches to be here. Let me just say, too, I'm glad to have my wife, Robin. If you would like to speak to the luckiest woman in Kentucky, talk to her after the fact. But I appreciate and love her, and I'm so thankful for her. She's such a blessing to me. And we have Emily and Joy Beth, two of our daughters that's with us today. And God has blessed me with five beautiful girls, so that's the reason for no hair and it being gray. So I just thought I'd throw that out. But we are glad to be here today. I want to talk to you for just a minute about the attitude of gratitude. Around my church, we started to sing, and I preached a sermon on this one morning. I said, we need to start getting ourselves in the habit of praising God. And I said, we started a new saying called, I'm just too blessed to be depressed. And, you know, it's amazing as you go around and you see people in a lot of places. You know, I love these little Walmart folks that's working, and God bless them. I know sometimes they're having a terrible time. And I was in a Walmart there in Corbin back not too awful long ago, and as I was standing in line, well, there was a lady in front of me, and she had two big baskets full, and she was, she would pry something, and she'd tell the little lady, well, I don't want that, and she'd throw it aside, and she was going through this sorting of everything out, and I could tell this little girl was not having a real good day. But she finally got this lady checked out, and I stepped up with my two little items. Now, she had two baskets full in the 10 or less aisle. You ever been there, done that? As I got up, I could tell this little gal was having a bad day, and I said, are you having a good day? And she says, no. And she said, but it's going to get better because I get off in 15 minutes. And I said, well, I understand. But I said, you know what? I said, we're alive. We're able to work. It's a good day. So I said, it's just, we're all too blessed to be depressed. And she smiled real big at me, and she said, you know what? I just never really thought about it that way. And I can say we left with a smile on her face. I think the thing that we as Christians, God has blessed us so good. I mean, each and every day. And you know, we pray for things, and a lot of times we pray for the big things. And a lot of times it's the very little things that God is blessing us with the most, and we miss them. You know, I told someone last night, we've got these cell phones and computers and all these things that's supposed to make our life simple, but all it's done is it's just speeded things up. It's just life moves so fast. And sometimes we don't get to pull back and stop and just, you know, look at the little things God does for us. And I made a conscious effort to myself, you know, Lord, I'm going to try to whine just a little bit less. And I'm going to start getting me an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for the things you're doing for me each and every day. And my friends, this morning as I pulled up, I never saw a mule, a buggy, or a horse parked outside this church. We all had nice vehicles to get in to get to church this morning. Isn't that a blessing? You know, that we can have an attitude of gratitude for that. Wasn't it wonderful this morning when you rolled out of bed and you felt the floor this morning saying, God, you've given me another day. How blessed are we? Boy, this morning I heard a peck on my door over Aunt Mary's and opened the door, and Aunt Mary had brought us coffee upstairs. Best room service in the county. What a blessing that it was to be able to have that cup of coffee and get the sleep out of your eyes. And as I was sitting there, I'd open the window, and of course, this gentle breeze that is blowing across the plains today. but as I opened that window and felt that beautiful warm air coming through, and it was kind of cool this morning, and that just, you know, you could just smell the farm, and you could smell the dirt, and I thought, Lord, thank you so much that I'm here to enjoy this morning. You see, there's many times that it's the perspective that we have. A lot of times we look at the whole forest and we just can't see through that forest for all the trees that's there. But I'm a believer that the Bible tells me that God said he knew us yet when we were even in our mother's womb. He said that he knew us and he has a plan for our life. And I tell you, now I'm not like some people. Now, I believe that God wants us to have the best. I believe God wants us to live a rich and a full life. Now, that doesn't mean to say that when you go home, you can get on the computer and check your bank account and suddenly $1 million appears. I said that the reason that probably I've been poor all my life because God knows I couldn't handle it if you give me all that. I don't know. But I tell you, we have so much to be proud of and so much to be blessed that God has blessed us with. And I think that we just sometimes we miss the little things. We see the big things. You know, my wife's sister, we were talking about it this morning. When she was 22 years old, had a two-month-old baby at the time, or 2 years old, and was diagnosed with colon cancer at 22 years old. And she was in stage 3. Well, you know, we were all just scared to death. But, you know, we believed that God could heal her. And we prayed for her. And I know it was a rough time. But, you know, this morning she's 6 or 7 years cancer-free. Listen, I'm serving a God this morning. He's not went on vacation. He is faster to get a hold of than 911. I don't have to go through no operator. I can call upon his name, and I've got a God that listens. I've got a God that sometimes when I'm down and when I'm out and I'm tired and I'm weary, I can go to him and say, God, I don't really want anything. I just want to get up in your lap and just let you hold me for just a few minutes. I need some you time. I'm serving a God this morning that loved me so much that he sent his son to die upon a cross of Calvary. My friends, let me tell you something. That ought to have us running up and down the road shouting this morning. We shouldn't be depressed, but we're too blessed. God loved us enough that He gave us eternal life. And my friends, that's something special this morning. And you see, I'm glad that when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a sign that says, well, the Baptists go over here, the United Methodists go over there, the Christian go over there, and the Catholic goes over here. Listen, I believe it's going to be one big party when we get to heaven. I'm looking forward to that place. And I want you to come by my mansion, because I believe He's building me a mansion exactly like I want. You'll know my mansion. There'll be a big UK Wildcat flag hanging out on the front porch, because He loves me that good. You see, sometimes we go through life, we're so busy, we don't have an attitude of gratitude. There's many of us in here this morning that's parents. Isn't it wonderful when you do something for a child and then they come up to you and they say, Dad, thanks. I appreciate that. Mom, thank you for doing that. It makes us feel good, doesn't it? Well, you know, it's the same way with God. When God blesses us with something, you know, if we go and say, God, man, thank you for that beautiful breeze this morning. That was just awesome. Thank you, Lord. I believe that it pleases Him. You know, I love to go out and the old money pit that we live in down in Kentucky. We have a house that was built in 1890, a two-story farmhouse. We've been there 20 years, and we've been working on it 20 years. And from the looks of things, probably another 21, 22 years, we'll have it all completely redone when we get done. But I'm real lucky where I live at, because right out my back door, I've got a mountain. Now, I know y'all think about the mountains as a wonderful place to go to. I drive around up here with envy saying, Lord, if I just had 100 acres of this beautiful black flat dirt. But I have the mountains down there. And I love to go out there, and sometimes, you know, me and the dogs goes out on the porch and I drink my coffee and I look and I see the squirrels are playing up on the hill. And I love hummingbirds. To watch them come to a feeder. And I think all these beautiful things that God has put around. Lord, thank you for not letting me miss that. Those are some of the greatest blessings of the day. To talk to somebody in a Walmart and knowing they're having a bad day, but leaving them with a smile. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity that maybe I brighten someone else's day. And you say, Joe, do you feel this good all the time? Absolutely not. My wife will probably tell you, I'm an old grump sometimes. But I'm trying to do better because I want an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for each and every day. We have so much to be thankful for. And a lot of times, I think it's just our perspectives. It's how we look at things. Do we look at things as a negative, or do we look at things, you know, I do a lot of traveling, and sometimes tomorrow they're kicking me out as we go home in Louisville, Kentucky tonight, because I've got a 6 o'clock flight to Washington, D.C. in the morning, and we'll be up there all week. I'm going to check on your all's hard help that's working up there. But you know, yeah, good luck. Amen. But you know, sometimes I get frustrated waiting in lines at airports. Sometimes I get frustrated sitting as traffic will just slow to a crawl. And I tell you, between Louisville, Kentucky, and till I hit 54 out here, I've never seen as much construction. Indiana and Illinois must be redoing every road they've got, because it was 70 miles an hour and then 45. And you drive and miss the barrels and all that. But you know, sometimes I get frustrated with those everyday things. And I'm thinking, you know, the other day I was trying to get to Russell County, where my mother lives. I was going over there to be involved in a concert with a friend of mine. And as I got on the I-75 there, it was gridlocked. It was just like a parking lot. And I'm sitting there fretting, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm thinking, you know, man, y'all got to get this moving. And then I got to thinking, you know, what are you whining about? You've got a good cup of coffee in your holder right there. You're in a good vehicle, and so you're going to be a few minutes late. What's the deal? Lord, forgive me when sometimes I whine. See, sometimes it's just the perspective that we have. I love this little story when we talk about perspective. There was a Buddhist man that went to his rabbi, and he complained, and he said, Rabbi, life is just unbearable. He said, there's nine of us living in one room, and what can I do? The rabbi answered. He said, I can't stand it with nine of us living in one room. The rabbi said, that's easy. He said, go and get you a goat and take it into the room with you. The man looked at him with a puzzled look, and he said, well, okay. And the rabbi insisted, so he did as he said he would do. So he went and got a goat, and he moved it in. About a week later, he came back to the rabbi, and he said, oh, rabbi, he said, we can't stand it. He said, the nine of us in this one room, and said, that goat is filthy. He said, it's killing us. So the rabbi said, well, I'll tell you what you do. He said, go home and let the goat out, and then come back and see me in 1 week. So he did that. He went and let the goat out. In 1 week, he came back and seen the rabbi. And when he came back, the rabbi instantly noticed a change in his attitude and his perspective. He was just smiling, and he said, so happy. And he told the rabbi, I said, man, he said, life is beautiful. He said, we enjoy every minute of the day, all nine of us. Once you get rid of the goat, the nine wasn't near as bad as he thought it was. A lot of times it's our perspective. It's like the two men for many years, they were great St. Louis Cardinal fans. And they debated, will there be baseball in heaven? And that they agreed a lot on everything, but one of them says, no, there'll be no baseball in heaven. The other one said, yeah, I think there will be. So they made a pact. Whoever goes first, if you can get to heaven, if there's any way you can come back and give us the message that there is baseball in heaven, said, we'd like to know that. So whoever went first, so it wasn't long, one passed away. In just a couple of days, he came to his friend, and he said, well, I come to you with news. And he said, oh, great, that's wonderful. And he said, well, I answer the big question. Said, yes. Said, the good news is there is baseball in heaven. And he said, great. So said, there's no bad news. And he said, yeah, there's some bad news. He said, you're pitching Tuesday. So a lot of times it's our perspective of how we look at things. But my friends, God loves us so good that he gave his only son to die for us. And you know, my favorite verse, and I want to share with you, it's over in the chapter of Romans, and it's the 35th verse of the 8th chapter. It said, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, that's great big right there. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? And then it says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep to slaughter. Nay, in all things, listen to that, in all things, it didn't say some things, it says in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, listen, this is exciting stuff. Listen to this right here. Paul says, for I am persuaded. Now, he didn't say, I'm thinking this. This might be true. This is my opinion. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a marvelous promise? Cancer can't separate us. Distance can't separate us. The grave can't separate us. If we have the love of Jesus Christ, amen. We're just too blessed to be depressed. Now, things is not always going to be rosy, but if we will take on that attitude of gratitude, Lord, I'm not going to whine to you this morning. I don't want to ask you for anything, Lord. I just want to come tell you, thank you. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my buddy. Thank you for being my coming king. We need an attitude of gratitude. I'm so proud this morning I got to go over and look at your remodeling job. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And isn't it wonderful how God has blessed you all to be able to do that? You know, my little church is pretty much the same way, and I'll quickly hurry here, but when I went to my church 8 years ago, superintendent called me on Saturday night, and he said, "Man, I need a favor." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I've got a church nobody will take." And he said, I can't get anybody to sign there." And he said, "Would you think about going down there and just till I can get somebody?" And I said, "Well, how many people goes there?" And he said, "Well, there's only about 7 or 8. And I thought, well, I couldn't mess that up too awfully bad. So I said, "Well, yeah, I'll do it." So I go down there, and so I've been there. I'm starting my 9th year, 10th year. I'm the longest serving temporary replacement on the district down there. But, you know, once mysteriously when they couldn't find anybody but me, they said, "Well, would you be our pastor?" And I agreed to it. And I remember coming home and talking to Robin about it. And I said, "Honey, I don't know how we'll keep the lights on this winter. I don't know how we'll eat. You know, we're a more mature congregation." And I said, "You know, there's not many of us." And I said, "I don't know how we'll do it." But you know something I've learned long ago, my friends? We'll never outgive God in anything. Whether it be money, whether it be in service, whether it be... we'll never outgive God. And so I thought, "Well, Lord, you sent me here. You'll see us through." And you know, now I look back and I think, oh my goodness, how God has blessed us, because we had some structural problems that we had to fix, and we did. I had a steeple that was made out of wood that was leaking. You could stand in the back and hold a bucket and wash your dishes. There was so much water. And we got that put up, and we got new windows put up. And, you know, God, every time I think, "Lord, I don't know how we'll do it financially, but we're just depending on you to bless us." And God has blessed us every single time. And I'm not telling you this. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm thankful. I have an attitude of gratitude for what God has done for us. And I tell you, our last little project we did, we saved all of our shillings up, and we were trying to get, we had a big drainage problem outside, and we knew it was going to cost us about $12,000. And so we had been, you know, budgeting for a long time for that, and we finally got to the point we were able to get it done. And so we went through that project and got it all done, and you know, "Well, thank you, Lord, but please just don't let anything else tear up, because there's no money in the construction budget." But my friends, we'll never outgive God. 1 week to the day after we got that thing done on a Sunday morning, we'd finished on a Saturday. On the next Sunday, I'm standing at the back of the church welcoming people in as they come, good morning and all that. There's a lady steps inside, and she said, "I need to know who the pastor is." And I said, "Well, that's me." And she said, "Here." And she handed me a check, and it was folded, and she said, "I'm up here." Her aunt had passed away, and they'd been settling the estate, and said she had left a little something in her estate for the church, and I wanted to give it to you. And I said, "Well, thank you very much." I said, "You know, she's a sweet lady, and we miss her, and you, are you guys staying for church?" She said, "No, we got to get back to Florida." I still hadn't looked at the check. So I walk up to the front and I said, "Well, you know, good morning, everyone. And we're glad that Sister so-and-so that passed away, her daughter was here." And I went through and explained it. And I said, "She left us a check." And I opened it up. And Brother Scott, it was for $12,000 even. Coincidence? You ain't going to convince me of that. The next week, the guy had done all the track hole work and stuff on this project. Goes to his own church, but he wanted to come down and visit, and as he went out, he said, "Oh, by the way, here, I wanted to give this to you." And he said, "For y'all paid me for all the track hole work and stuff." He said, "I went through my books, but," he said, "I want to donate it back to the church. Friends, I made $1,525 on that deal. Made money. And I thought, Lord, could we go dig up the neighbor's yard? What I'm saying is, my friends, we never outgive God. And I'm so thankful this morning that I've got like 40 to 50 in church. We've got everything that's fixed. We even got to replace her piano, which was over 50 years old. I know a musician will appreciate this. She would hit the sustain pedal on it. Four measures later, you'd hear something go, boom! We got a beautiful new baby grand setting up on the pulpit area. And we don't owe for nothing. Now, is that because we got a lot of money? Uh-uh. It's because we can't outgive God. And you'll never outgive Him, no matter how hard you try. That's why we need to have an attitude of gratitude. Every day, not the big things, but also the little things. That little arm that goes around your neck and says, Dad, Mom, Poppy, Granny, I love you. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. To hold the hand of that companion that's still here with us and say, honey, I love you, and I love you too. What a blessing that is. To be able to come into God's house this morning with our brothers and our sisters, doesn't matter what state we're from, doesn't matter what town we're from, when we come here, we're in God's house. What a blessing. We should have an attitude of gratitude. I want to close with this little poem. I love this. If you ever remember the Cathedral Quartet, I don't know how many of you do. I'm an old quartet guy, but Brother George Yontz, one of the best bass singers I ever heard open his mouth, he used to quote this a lot, but how true it is. It says, today while on a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy, and how I wished that I was so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, and I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot, and she wore a crutch. But as she passed, she smiled. I thought, oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet, and the world is mine. And then I stopped by a place to buy some sweets. The lad there who served me, he had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer, and his manner was so kind, and it was so warm. I said, it's really nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes, and the world is mine. Then while I was walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood there watching the others play, and I seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, and then I said, well, dear, why don't you go join the others? But then he looked ahead, and without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears, and the world is mine. I have 2 feet that will take me where I go. I have 2 eyes that I can enjoy God's sunset glows. I have 2 ears to hear what I would know. I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. And oh God, dear Lord, forgive me when I whine. We should have an attitude of gratitude. God is so good. He made today, and He said that we need to rejoice in it. So let us rejoice. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Do you feel blessed this morning? Amen. I am just so thankful for all that God does for us.